I'm going to read beginning with the 28th verse of the 8th chapter of the Gospel by John, and I'll read down through about the 47th verse. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant or slave abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And then I want to go back to the 32nd verse and read, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When we think of bondage, we so often think of Book and Wald and Sing Sing and Devil's Island and the peoples like Israel that had been in bondage and slavery until they were freed. But I read a story, and it was just a little column here a couple, 3 years ago, and I put it in my notes of human interest stories. It was along about Christmas time, and it went something like this. Possibly the best Christmas present in the country was that of a man who was in Sing Sing prison. He'd been there for about 7 years. And just before Christmas of this particular year, a grizzled, old, hardened criminal who was also in Sing Sing called the guards to him when he knew he was dying, and confessed to that crime. And the one who had been in jail or in prison was set free. But the thing that impressed me was this. How many would be set free if the truth only were known? And of course, this is true. But then, to understand the Word of God is to know that every son of Adam's race is born to a prison. And unless he is born again, he'll never be free. And it just don't take some things or anything, it takes the truth to make him free. And only the truth in the Christian life, the truth in the Christian life, can make the Christian free like God intended that his children be free. You see, it's possible to go anywhere, do anything you just about please, like, say, Mr. Onassis. I read where he has a passport that will allow him into almost any country in the world. He has the money to do it. He buys what he wants and goes where he pleases. And yet, if you could look into that life as a spiritual man looks at it and as God himself looks at it, you would find a man who has been imprisoned from the time he came to be of any age of accountability, and the years have done nothing but draw the cords ever tighter and tighter about his life. And one day, unless by some stretch of the imagination that we don't usually see, that man will be bound forever in a lake of fire. Now that's rough, isn't it? But then that's exactly what can happen to you and me. The poet said something about bars do not a prison make. And if there was ever a man that proved that, it was the Apostle Paul. Much of his life, he boasted, was in prison, but he always proclaimed he was the Lord's free man. So you see, you can be free and be in prison. You can go where you please and yet be in a prison. You can buy what you want to, live where you want to, eat what you want to, sleep where you want to, and yet be a miserable, wretched, manacled criminal. And yet they can take you out if you're a child of God and put you in solitary for 50 years and you'll be freer than the men that put you in there. Now this is what Jesus is coming to when he says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Two great words are in that text, truth, freedom. And the Bible, as no other literature in the world, glories in these two words, truth and freedom. Now there is a truth that's just, Brother Hugh said, wherever the bloodstained banner is raised up. You see, wherever the blood-stained banner is raised up, people will get saved. But then many of God's children are saved in a legal atmosphere and, according to the Word of God, are in bondage all their lifetimes and never come into the reward that God has for them.
You see, God don't only want you to be his child, he wants you to be his free child.
Do you know what's the matter with Christendom, generally speaking, today? Is that they are not free like God intended for them to be free. And history is filled with revolutions and wars that were fought for certain philosophies and liberties, and yet the Bible alone is that which will give us freedom in spite of everything. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said a great deal about freedom, and of course, it was his death that made freedom possible. Apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, no man could be free. It took the death of Christ to break the bondage over the human race. Nothing else can begin to approach it. You see, the devil is too much for men on any basis than that of grace. And on the basis of the grace of God, Jesus Christ could taste death for every man. And whosoever believes does not have to perish, but has everlasting life. So Jesus said much about freedom and died to give us freedom. And John said a great deal about freedom. Of course, the Bible, as I say, is full of it, but the great apostle Paul gave his life to make the truth of Christ work and the complete freedom that it makes possible to the child of God real. Do you realize that the epistles of Paul generally would never have been written? They're not written to sinners. They're written to saints. They're written to saints to teach them how to be free. To teach them how to live lives of victory and triumph. You see, the Lord wants you to be as triumphant in your life as he was in his life. Now, you can never die for the sins of the world, but sometimes you can die telling people how Jesus died for their sins. And many have. But you see, it isn't enough to get a man saved. It isn't enough to get a man filled with the Spirit. It isn't enough to tell a man that he can be healed. The Bible offers him divine healing. It isn't enough to tell people that Jesus is coming again. The Word of God points to the fact that God wants to get his people ready as a bride adorned for a husband. For this hour and this time, and it'll take the truth to do it. Nothing short of the truth can do it. And so we think in the reign of Saul, I thought of how there, Saul, the king of the tribe of Benjamin, that king who was the first king of Israel. And he put the people under great bondage. And then God raised up David. And David, fleeing from his life, for his life from Saul, fled to the cave of Adullam. And this is what it said. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented gathered themselves to David, and they became, because of this, a kingdom of free men. David set them free. And then David had a son, Solomon, and he put yokes on the people. And when Solomon died, Rehoboam took his place, and the men complained. This is how Israel was split. And Israel complained. And Rehoboam, he consulted with the old men, and they told him, they said, now you lift these yokes off the people, and they'll be faithful to you. But he wouldn't take the counsel of the older men. And he listened to the counsel of the younger men. And they told him, to go ahead. And he said to them, whereas my father did lead you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. And is it any wonder that his kingdom crashed? You see, God is for freedom. And God is determined to make men free. I remember how Abraham Lincoln spoke of slavery in this country. He said, God is against this thing. And I will hit it with all my strength. God was for him. God is always for freedom. But there's only one way for men to go free, and I point it to you again and again, and that's the truth. Only the truth could have made that man free in Sing Sing. He could have been a model prisoner. He could have done anything that it was possible for him to do in that prison, but it would not have set him free. But the truth did make him free as far as the prison was concerned. Now, Jesus spoke these words to the Jews, and you notice in my text I read the context so you could see how they bristled up and said, we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, or you'll really be free. You see? You see, there's a lot of folk here that you don't have to ask me whether you can go or come. You don't have to ask someone else whether you can go or come. You have your home. You do as you please. So often people say to me, preacher, that's my life. I'll do as I please. Well, of course you think you will, but you're not really doing as you please. You're doing like the devil pleases. You see, you have to listen to the dictates of God and the Word of God, or you're listening to the devil and the dictates that he brings to your flesh. It's as simple as that. I marvel to see how people will resist this Word, resist this book. And Jesus speaking to Pilate about the truth, you remember, he could have answered him like he did Thomas. When Pilate said, who is truth? He could have said, well, I am the truth. Because he was the truth. He said, I am the way, Thomas, the truth and the life. I am everything. You come by me, you'll get to God. You avoid me and you'll go to hell. That's as good as what he said. Now today, every sinner, as we've said earlier, is bound and fettered. And because many believers don't know the truth or won't believe the truth when they hear it, most of them are bound in many ways. And I agree that we can be compassionate with those who never had an opportunity at the truth. They might have been raised in legal homes or born into legal churches. But then when someone hears the truth, and sometimes I've seen people set in a meeting of this kind and then go out and throw their lives with legality and something that looks big and looks like it's getting the job done. And they depart the truth and go out and support something like that. I don't believe I can make any allowance for that kind of thing because the Bible doesn't. And the Apostle Paul warned the Galatians that if he are an angel, he said, if we are an angel from heaven, Galatians 1:8, I believe that is, preach any other gospel unto them than that he had preached, he said, let them be a curse. And so, it is like this. There's no greater enemy, you have no greater enemy except the devil, than your own fleshly nature. It'll sell you out. It will go along with other than truth. And it'll justify you in doing it. I've had to come to the place in my life where I couldn't go according to my emotions. I have to go according to the book. You see, my emotions can go astray, and what seems right can be wrong. Have you ever heard pilots? Here J.D. is a pilot, and Brother Hugh is a pilot, and one thing and another. I don't know whether they have instrument ratings or not. Here's Jack Jaragoski, he does, and I don't think Bob Arno, I think he's flying this morning. I don't know. But you ask those men how it would be to get up there in the fog where they can't see anything and begin to reason the direction. How far would you get? I tell you, when you get up there, you better know your instruments. And you better stay with your instruments. You see, I had one man tell me that he was flying, and he said, I got in a fog, and he said, I felt like my right wing was a little low, and I pulled it up, and I flew along a little, and I thought it was low, and I pulled it up, and he said, I flew along a little, and I just knew that wing was low, and I pulled it up, and he said, the next thing I knew, I realized I was flying upside down. You see, dear hearts, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, if you don't know the truth, you aren't really free. You may be saved, but there's more freedom than that. You can be a child of God and be imprisoned, in a sense. Now, I'm going to quickly, and I only have a few minutes and about 17 or 18 by that clock, and I'm going to quickly bring us to 3 points. And first of all, I want us to see how Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. I can almost hear Paul sing and shout as this man, as few men, knew what it meant to try to live up to the law. He had brought his life under the dictates of the laws from the time he was just a child. He lived after the strictest sect of the Pharisees. We had a Pharisee in this meeting who came 2 or 3 times. Many of you met him. He was one of 2 men in the city of Denver that was a Pharisee. His name was Benjamin. And someone cooked some pork in his house where he had a room. And he fasted and prayed for 8 days and did everything that he could to get that house clean again. It was amazing the things that man would put himself through because he was determined he was going to live up to the law. But, oh, Paul got the revelation, and he said the Lord had made us free from the law of sin and death. Can you imagine that? I'm not only free from sin, I am free from the law which says I've got to do so and so and so and so and so and so to keep my salvation. You see, I've been made free from the law of sin and death. Jesus Christ, in his death, took the law out of the way, according to the book of Colossians. The Bible says he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You see, the law has stood and dared anybody to come. If you were to try to come by the 10 commandments, which one of them did you keep? Not how many of them did you keep. Do you know the first one says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might,
and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, don't make yourself a liar and tell me you kept that. Because there's nobody kept that unless the love of God was deposited in their hearts through Jesus Christ being born in there. You see, Jesus Christ alone could take that law out of the way. He took it out of the way. When he cried, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, showing it was thrown open from heaven, and it was thrown wide, thus signifying the way was open into the holiest of all, and the deepest dyed sinner can come with just one plea. That he died for me. That's the only way we can come. Now, you see, Paul tells us how Christ fulfilled the law for us. He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He took the law out, took us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we're not under law, he said, but under grace. How did you get saved? You're saved here, if you're saved. How did you get saved? Did you get saved because God had mercy on you? Because God would not look at your sin? Because God accepted you in his beloved Son? Or did you get saved because you kept the Sabbath? Or you wore your hair a little different than someone else? Or your skirts were a little longer than someone else's? This rules. Men set up their own rules. The churches set up their rules. Meats and drinks and baptisms and such like. Thank God. The Apostle Paul once and for all took it all out. And he said, God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, if water baptism is the gospel, then Paul wasn't preaching it. Water baptism is the answer of the good conscience toward God. It's a sweet and a wonderful thing when you see what it really means. It never did save anybody. Talked to a party this week. Tell me about... And of course, they were of a religion that teaches that when an infant is born again, when it's baptized by the church... And I said, oh no, the Word of God says, believe and is baptized. Could that little baby believe? There's a lot of 50-year-old men that can't believe. Didn't you know that? And if you don't believe, I don't care how many times you've been baptized and who said you're all right, you're not all right. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. You'll get free of that if you believe the Word of God, which says that God made him to be sin for you, who knew no sin, that you might become the righteousness of God which is in him. It's as simple as that. I'm not trying to keep anything. I learned a long time ago, if he left anything to me to keep, I'd lose it. And then forget where it was. And of course, he put my sins away and forgot where he put them. That's what it says. He'll put them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. Oh, precious heart. Paul joyously proclaimed the unsearchable riches of God's grace. He showed how God could take the lowest sinner and exalt him to the very throne of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This Bible says of God's children that if you're a child, you're an heir. And a joint heir. Now here's one of the ifs. If so be that you'll suffer together with him, that you might also reign together with him. You see, if you don't go out and tell the truth and suffer, and it'll bring... You'd think everybody'd want to get free, wouldn't you? But just like those Jews, you begin to tell someone that only the truth can set them free, and they'll begin to hate you for it. But it's still the truth. So many are allowed to believe that they are under the Ten Commandments and the ordinances of men. But Jesus met the law and its deadly demands, and He died for sin once. And the Bible tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says I'm free. The Bible tells me that all I need to do to become a child of God is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. And that's exactly what it says. And so, let's not just believe to get saved and then refuse the truth that'll take us out of the bondage that many of God's precious people are in. Now quickly, let me go to another step. And when we know the truth, you see, we get free from every kind of law keeping, every kind of works of the flesh. Thank God. I'm not trying to keep a Sabbath. I've found the rest that remains for the people of God. I entered into one great, wonderful, glorious Sabbath when I took Christ as my Savior. He is my rest. He's yours too if you'll take Him. But then we're free from all these things, and then to know the truth is to be free of fear. And this is where I want to bear down just a little bit. Certain kind of fear is good. Here's Brother Barclay, and he, like several men in the church, he's an electrician. Now, I'm sure he already told that little fellow there a long time ago that electricity is something to respect. Don't fool around a hot stove. Don't fool around swift water. And don't fool around open electrical current. Just don't fool with these things. You see, there is a certain amount of fear that is good for us. I think about that story I heard about that old Texan. He said he was walking along down there in Texas and that... Long in the sagebrush, and he said he came out from behind a big bush, and there stood one of them long horned bulls. And he said he was just meaner than me. He said he took out after me, and he said I took off, and there was just one tree up there, and he said he just had one limb down there 20 feet up. And he said I got to that tree, and I gave a jump, and he stopped and took his old Bull Durham out and started rolling a cigarette, and somebody said, "Did you catch it? Did you catch it?" Oh, he said, "I missed it on the way up, but I caught it on the way down." So I'll tell you, it pays to be afraid sometimes. You see, a little bit of fear is good for you. It could save you high. But I'm going to tell you, to be afraid in the Lord is the devil. The devil just simply crushes any hope of some of God's children ever getting very far with God, because the moment they get a little ache in their side, they just know that God suddenly lost control of everything. You think of fear. Think how it wrecks your health, your nerves, your lives. I've seen fear keep God's people bound, that they couldn't be free. Many are sick who could be well, and many are bound that could be free. You see, fear will burn holes in your stomach and take you to nervous breakdowns, and it just make you miserable. That's all. I've seen it do it. But in the 14th chapter, that wonderful chapter of John, Jesus was speaking. You remember how He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He said, "You believe in God. Believe also in Me." And then in the 27th verse, He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And then in the 29th verse,
he said, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe."
There's a great secret there. You know, if they'd have believed him before it came to pass, just like us here this morning, what are we glorying in? We're glorying in that old cross. One of our greatest notes of victory is that they buried him, but they couldn't keep him buried. One of the greatest things that I can shout about this morning is that they just tore him apart. They plowed his back. They pulled a beard from his face. They spit on him. They beat him. They crowned him with thorns. But that's the thing I can glory about today. And these things that look like disaster and look like they're going to whip you and they're going to beat you and you're going to run and tuck your tail between your legs and you're going to hide out, they're the very things that are going to take you to the top if you just believe what he said. If Job knew what we know, he wouldn't have sat down in that ash heap and moaned and said, "Let me die, let me die, let me die." He'd have said, "Thank God I'm in the old ash heap, but God's going to exalt me like I've never been exalted." Now listen, this book tells you that he never will leave you. It says he'll never forsake you. It says he'll never fail you. It says he's with you always. It says that all things are working together for your good. It says that he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. It just again and again and again reassures you and girds you and lifts you and protects you until when you fall into temptation, you ought to count it all joy. Isn't that right? Sure, that's right. Well, now you know the truth. What did it say? It said, "I'm not going to leave you out." So when them boys gets on war path, and Al, he hangs his head and holds his head and walks the floor, and he says, oh, this is the end of everything. I can just see what's happening out there. I can see the devil taking them. I can see. Oh, no. You can see the truth, and the truth will make you free. You can count the things that aren't as though they were. Listen, brethren, we're about to go to the throne of this universe. We'd better learn to rule a little bit right now. Huh? You think he's going to turn it over to us unless we've learned to count with him now? I don't care. Years ago, I knew he said he was for me. So who can be against me? Brother Atch, you're having a hard time finding that out. God love you. Brother Hill, you hear what so-and-so said about you? Oh, if God's for me, I don't care what they say about me. Do you know that? Just call the armies out. Call them out. If God's for me, I can do everything Elijah could do because my God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? If he wants you to put me in a prison, you can put me there. But if he don't, you can't. If he wants you to burn me, you can burn me. But if he don't want you to burn me, throw me in the blast furnaces down here at Pueblo, and I'll come out of there without a smell on me. Now that's you. That's you. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. I'm going to close it out here, Al. I had one more, but I'm just going to barely mention it. And I think this is something that we need to realize. You know, he can make you free from yourself.
The tragedy of Christianity is its self-centered selfishness. Oh, I don't mind spending $15,000 on me and mine. But on the things of God, why, that preacher might take it and go fishing with it. You better leave the preacher to the preacher. Jesus said, look, Peter, he said, what I do with John's my business. He said, you go there and get yourself crucified upside down. I'll tell you about you. They're going to lead you where you don't want to be led. I'm going to stretch forth your arms. I'm going to tell you how you're going to take it. They're going to crucify you. Well, when that day came, you can imagine how that had scared his eyeballs out on his cheeks almost, wouldn't it, Al? But when the day came, old Peter had the grace for it. And history tells us that he said, look, I'm not worthy to be crucified like him. Turn me upside down and do it. God will give you grace for anything that's out there. Oh, yes, I don't know what's in the bridge tomorrow, but I know who's at the bridge. I know the bridge keeper, and I know the water keeper, and I know the fire keeper, and I know him that holds the winds in his fist. I know him who was like a fountain out of whom flowed the universe. And he's my God, and he loved me, and he gave himself for me. He lives for me right now. Sure he does. And I'm telling you, the only thing that's worthwhile is going on in a place like this. That building will go, but the people who put their hearts in it, it won't go. There'll be something that'll last. I don't like to take too much time, but I remember a story I heard years ago. Now listen, I don't want anybody stranger here to think these people aren't good to me. This is the best bunch of people you ever saw. You can't find a better congregation in this world than this one. I think as a rule, these people love their pastor and they want to do him good. But I'm just talking about some other people. I heard about that. I said the preacher came in and didn't have anything, so they was going to get things ready for him. So women collected up all their old bent up pans and their cracked dishes and bent forks and knives, and they're all ready to throw away sheets and pillowcases and everything that was no good, and they took it over and had a shower for the preacher. A few years later, they went to heaven. Lo and behold, when they got there, the Lord took them to their mansion, and that's how he had it furnished. Amazing, isn't it? Now you say, that's impossible. Oh, no. No, no. That's just a story, but that isn't impossible. Let me tell you, if God wanted to take one of them old cracked plates and take it up there and put it in your mansion, it'd be there. Oh, you say, I broke it to pieces. Well, that don't make any difference. He knows how to mend broken hearts. Don't you think he could mend a broken plate? Huh? Sure. I would urge you to let the Lord Jesus Christ into your life today. I've tried to tell you the truth, and I trust that the truth will make you free. You'll have to believe it. That's your part. All the work's been done. Shall we pray? Anyone on my left want to be remembered? Thank you. Thank you. Many hands on my right. Many hands have gone up in that balcony. Oh, yes. Father, how sweet that you would give us your only begotten Son. Then give us a man like the Apostle Paul. Do the things that you've done that we might know the truth and be free men and women.
Oh God, help this people to ever approach you with great grace upon their lives. Bless those that have raised their hands and some that didn't have the courage. Oh God, help them. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.